16 years old, and he prophesied both to Jews and to Gentiles. His ministry encompasses both. And his name, the name Daniel, actually, I mean, it means God is my judge. And so, you know, it's really important. We have to be careful how we name our children, because a lot of people will throw anything out there on them. I thought about something a couple of days ago, that in this ministry, as far as the eldership, the name royal, we all know that that implies leadership. And the name angel, that's servant of God. And the name Michael means a warrior of God. And the name James means teacher or instructor.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that just a coincidence?
That's my sister's baby's name. It's going to be Lewis after my father. It's Pedro Lewis. Lewis Daniel is his name.
Well, that Daniel means God is my judge.
Lewis means something else too. When I typed it in.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And I always thought it was cool that we had a Jewish person we had pretty much the whole thing covered with the leadership.
Yep.
Yes.
I thought it was cool.
Interesting combination.
Yes.
Verse 1.
Year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God.
Okay, so he came and he besieged. He took over Jerusalem, and he went and took things from the temple and took them back home to his home and put them in the house of his God. Okay?
And then the king instructed...
By the way, the history with Nebuchadnezzar, I think, is really important. He was not a nice guy.
No.
He was very, very cruel and didn't think of give any value for life of others and all that. So Nebuchadnezzar, but he was actually ruled virtually the whole arena around that area.
Mm-hmm.
God had given him and used him as a chastening for the Jews.
Yes.
So it's important, because Nebuchadnezzar, in the end, what happens to Nebuchadnezzar?
Is he the one with the plagues on him?
Is he what?
The one with the plagues on him?
No. What happened with Nebuchadnezzar? You'll know. Yeah, there you go.
That's a song we
love. The same song, so you remember. Well, let me tell you what happens, because Nebuchadnezzar actually becomes a believer.
Yeah.
A what?
A believer.
Yeah, this wicked, cruel, hateful, guy, before it's all said and done. And as you look at it, you can begin to see why as we do the study. But it's so interesting that he was such a terrible, he was slaughtered by the thousands and gave no thought to it.
We'll see how that happens. In fact, with some of the, what we would call important people. Verse 3.
And then the king instructed Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was not blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans.
Okay, so he said, this guy, Aspenaz, who was the master of Nebuchadnezzar's eunuchs. What are those eunuchs?
Eunuchs?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
They're castrated, aren't they?
Castrated, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you say?
The men that have been castrated, yeah, so they'll never be able to marry. All they can do is serve the king.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay.
Why did he castrate them?
Isn't it to keep them closer with God?
To keep them from having fleshly desires, to keep their...
Yeah. He did it so that they could not impregnate any of his women.
Right.
And so on and so forth. Because they were going to be working mm-hmm. with his people and leaders. So he said, I'll take care of it. We won't have any sexual problems or any of that. So he castrated them. Once again, he didn't care about anybody but himself. So that meant, what does that mean? What does it mean for the ones that were castrated?
They were slaves.
They were brought.
They would want to do that to him.
They were brought from Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
so they lost their land, their heritage, their families. Mm-hmm. Now they come and they're castrated. What does that mean?
No future.
They can't.
They have no future.
Right.
There is no future.
Wow.
And it's something we take for granted. Having families and stuff. Well, like with them, the rest of their life they had no future because they lost their land, their people, their families and all that, and now they can't have children either. Can you imagine? That could have really devastated them. And they could have said, God, how could you ever let this happen to us? Okay.
And so he instructed them to bring some young men from Israel, and notice who he wanted. Those in whom there was no blemish.
Mm-hmm.
And they were good, but they had to be good looking.
Well, would you want to look at some ugly bunch of bing-yangs that are serving you?
These were men that would be in or around the palace much of the time. So they had to be good looking, but they also had to be gifted in wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Possessing knowledge and quick to understand. He didn't want any dummies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, he wanted smart young men. All right. And whom they could teach the language and how to write in the Chaldean way. All right.
So basically, they were the link between Nebuchadnezzar and mm-hmm. that people and the children of Israel.
Right.
So they were going to be bringing the two together and representing Israel and their people.
And sometimes people can come in, they can learn the language, but they still don't know how
to
write.
That's it.
So he had to make sure they were smart enough to learn.
That's it, yeah.
Okay, verse 5.
And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. And now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
You're good. Do it. Go, girl, go.
To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, to Shadrach, to Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego.
Okay, so he changed their names so that they would have Babylonian names instead of their Jewish names. Mm-hmm. All right, he changed Daniel to Hananiah, to Mishael, he changed them to Azariah, and Daniel, he changed Daniel's name to Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, to Shadrach, to Mishael, he changed his name to
Meshach,
and to Azariah, he changed his name to Abednego. Some have, chose to pronounce that differently. They said they changed his name, Azariah, to a bad Negro. I don't think that was quite easy.
I had a black brother when we were attending First Assembly. He used to stay with us when he came to speak at the church. And he was a black boy. And whatever he said in a big Negro. Because he's a big boy. And a big Negro. Yep.
All right.
However, what does Daniel's name mean from Babylonian?
You should know this.
Belshazzar?
Belshazzar. That, I didn't get.
It is one of the gods of the Nebuchadnezzar. Babylonian? It's one of the gods' names. The head god. Remember, they had many gods.
Yes.
So it was one of the head gods. And so it's interesting that he chose to name him after one of their gods, but more than that, one of the elite gods, attributing to Daniel evidently some real value that Nebuchadnezzar saw.
Bel is what? A protector of kings.
Protector of kings.
Yeah. And that's even before he had done the big thing that we're going to come to in just a few moments. Thing also, he set them apart for 3 years training. And they were to eat the same food that the king ate, okay? And drink wine just like the king and all like that. They were given delicacies and all.
As long as they kept learning good and quickly.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if they didn't learn good and quickly?
They'd be cut off.
They were already cut off.
They'd be kicked out. Right.
They'd be put out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would be put out. Literally, like I say, he had no respect for anybody. And so if they hadn't stepped measured up, then he would have put them out and found somebody to replace them. Mm-hmm. And he probably would have had them killed.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because, like you said, he didn't want people to fear him.
Care about human life.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay. He was teaching them all this, having them learn all of this stuff just to be the link between.
To be the link between Jews and Babylonians.
Yes.
Yeah. Because they're going to be, they're going to represent the king. Good.
But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself.
Wait a minute, now he's eating the king, you know what the king is eating. Mm-hmm. Okay, and he's drinking that what we would consider the best of wine and all. So how is he going to defile himself by eating what the king is eating and drinking the king's wine? How is that going to defile him?
Is that a religious
thing? Yes. It would be against the law.
Yeah.
Of the
didn't
Israeli
they sacrifice
law.
Their food to idols and stuff too?
Yes. Yeah. That was it. It had been sacrificed to the idols before they ate it.
So
then they would be violating their, because the meat to sacrifice idols was against their belief system.
Yeah.
So you had both those
that
they had to deal with. Okay, verse 9.
Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs.
Mm.
And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should we see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king.
By the way, what's Nebuchadnezzar like?
Didn't care about anybody.
Hey, if those boys didn't look good and do well, the caregiver would have his head cut off.
Yes.
So that's Nebuchadnezzar for you.
So they had to look at least as good as the other young men were there. Okay.
Especially if they're in the same stuff as the king.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days.
So Daniel comes with a proposition. What does he ask the king of the chief of the eunuchs to do?
Let them have vegetables and water.
10 days, just for 10 days, let us have just vegetables and water. Okay. And then after that, then you check us, look at us, and then look at the other guys. And if we look like we've lost weight and we, you know, don't look like we're doing well, then we'll go back to the king stuff. Okay? And the favor that God had given, the chief of the eunuchs said, all right, we'll try it 10 days, but that's it. Okay.
But one of the reasons that he responded is in that their thing teaches us how to make a good appeal.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
It teaches us. How do we make a good appeal?
Yes. That's in the manhood series.
Yes.
You know, how you deal with
how do we make
an
appeal? What Daniel did was he first was found out what the guy was concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he went to the guy and said, okay, your concern is about getting your head cut off if we don't look good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let's just give it a test for 10 days. That means I realize you can't let it go on for more than a few days because you could lose your head.
Mm-hmm.
And so he cared about what the guy cared about, and he took care of that care so that the guy was willing to work with him. If we're going to make an appeal, it's really important that we find out what the other person is concerned about.
Yes.
And care about how it affects them.
Okay. Look also at the sincerity of the appeal. That's verse 12. What's the first? I don't know the different translations, but what's the first word that he speaks in that? It sounds like in everybody, he says please. So in other words, he's not, when he's making his appeal, he's doing it in sincerity. Please test your servants. See, a lot of sometimes we want to act like we're making an appeal and we just throw something out there. He says, please test your servants. Okay? So the eunuch consented with them and tested them 10 days. And what happened? 15.
And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Of course, because we know anybody that has to eat beans and vegetables ain't going to look healthy, and they're going to be hungry.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I like eating meat. So I like eating meat.
There's no fat in the vegetables.
That's it.
So
we know there was a supernatural exchange.
I was just going to say that we know God had to be in the picture. So
because beans compared with meat and wine and all that, it had to be God intervening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so
I wonder if he cares about losing weight the same way. That God would intervene and help us lose weight.
I'm sure
I believe
he
would. So what happened? What was the result of it?
They look fatter.
Right. Okay. And then, so what did the eunuch do? 16.
The steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables.
All right. So after he saw the change that was made and how good they were looking and all like that, he said, okay, y'all don't have to deal with this king stuff here anymore. Because most of it was probably not only offered to idols, but also contrary to the law. I mean, because in the law, God gave them certain things that they were not supposed to eat. And so he told them, okay, we'll just let you have the vegetables and water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all the literature and wisdom.
Mm.
And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams.
Wow. So look at how God has intervened here and is raising them up to where they have knowledge and skill, but Daniel has understanding in all visions and dreams. It goes even beyond that as far as just the knowledge and understanding. But his goal, I mean, just the knowledge, I'm sorry, and skill in the literature. So, okay.
And And now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they served before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which of the kings examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. And thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus.
How did they rate among the others?
A plus.
This?
10 times plus better. Plus.
But you might have had some of the others with that were A's. So they were not just good. Are just very good. It says they were
better.
How much better?
Better that they got the jobs to serve before the king.
How much better?
10 times better.
10 times better than the other. Yes. Yeah. You say they were 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
10 to 10 times is really a lot.
Yes, it is.
I mean, yeah.
Than all, not just a few.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Ten times better than all the magicians and astrologers. Mm.
And the magicians and the astrologers were all having the wine and the deli.
Yeah, they were having all the deli stuff and all that. And it's interesting that God, in His sovereignty, can intervene in any arena that we will allow him to.
Yes.
Amen. Now, he has a purpose and a reason. He doesn't do it happenstancely. He does it. And to be 10 times smarter, I mean, how can you even, how can you beat that?
Right.
I mean, it makes everybody else look so small.
Gave him each a dumbbell.
So
what happens after that?
And the king said, where are we at? Number 3?
Chapter 2.
Oh, now the second year of the Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him.
Mm.
And then the king gave the command to call the magicians and the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans.
By the way, all of those were idol worshippers.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And so you got to understand, for them, they were the elite that had spiritual powers and forces, and so they went to their false gods.
Mm-hmm.
To tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Chaldeans spoke to the king.
No, that's Chaldeans.
Chaldeans.
Mm-hmm.
In Aramaic. O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut into pieces.
Mm.
By the way, what was Nebuchadnezzar like?
He was a sweetheart. A real jerk.
Right? He was a real jerk. Hey, if you can't tell me my dream,
right.
Not unreasonable.
Not I'm going to tell you what my dream is and you interpret it for me. No, you got to tell me what the dream is.
Yeah.
Was.
And if I don't like it, then I'm
going to then I'm going to cut you up into pieces. Well, you're dealing with a total selfish jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Is what he is.
Yeah.
However, he had the power. God had given him the power and authority to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but they're going to go to their false gods. Okay. And they're going to seek, and their thing is, if you tell me the dream, we have a lot better chance of getting it right.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he wanted to know that what they said was really true, and the only way is if God showed
right.
him. He knew what he had dreamed, but he mm-hmm. wanted to say, I'll right. know that you're not just putting me on by the fact you can tell me the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to their false gods, and Daniel and his other two guys are going to seek their God too.
Okay.
If you do not make known the dreams to me and its interpretation. You shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you tell a dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor.
Mm.
Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation.
So this is where he's coming from. You got to tell me the dream and the meaning of it. Then I'll know you for real.
Yeah.
So you got to get in contact with your gods, to get with our gods, to tell you what the dream, and I'll bless you. I'll give you gifts, rewards, and great honor if you could tell me what the dream was and what the dream meant. Okay? How do they respond?
They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Which is only logical and reasonable. Okay?
Unless there really is a God.
Right. He said, yes.
That's funny. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me that dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation.
Okay, so he's letting them know, I'm not playing any games here. You're
going
to tell me the dream and the interpretation, because I see what y'all trying to do. Y'all just trying to buy time to come up with something. You know, maybe
thinking anything.
That the king may have told somebody else, and they can somehow get it from that other person, or some kind of way they can get the dream. But the king said, no, it ain't gonna work like that. You gotta tell me the dream and its interpretation before me. And he said, and I don't want any lying or corrupt words before me till the time is changed, till it gets later on. I wanna hear the dream and the interpretation now.
The Chaldeans answered.
No, Chaldeans.
Chaldeans. It's got an H in there, it's throwing me off. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell a king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean.
Chaldeans.
You found the one that stumps me the most.
And by the way,
she is all
they were like this.
they had never Chaldean. Met Jehovah.
Right.
Okay? Their God, they said, no other God has ever done that, and that may be true.
Right.
However, there is a God. Okay? However, they have never experienced that, mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see.
And they said, no, but no king has even ever asked any of his servants for anything.
Because they're reasonable. They're not like Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
He's an unreasonable jerk.
It sounds like he could be drunk. Tell me what I drank. It sounds like some argument.
Well, he drinks wine. So.
It's possible.
It is a difficult thing that the king requests.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this reason, the king was angry and very furious.
Ooh.
And gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Wow.
Yeah, but like I say, what kind of guy was he? Didn't have value for life whatsoever.
Not just these in front of him, but destroy all the wise men of Babylon.
So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them.
So they were looking for them also.
And then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning the secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven And Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and his might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers, who have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demands."
Okay. So, they go and seek God, and God reveals the dream and the interpretation. And you find it very interesting. Daniel says there is a God like that, because we know him. And he gives God glory. And his, some of the declarations about, are pretty interesting. He, wisdom and might are his. In other words, they're saying God determines these kind of things. Okay? He's the one that changes the times and the seasons. God has the power to change the time and the seasons. Nobody else. He puts up a king and takes a king down. Mm-hmm. Remember that. I think it's really important that we realize that God is the one that does promote, and he can promote you anytime he wants to, or he can demote anybody he wants to. Okay, so the God we serve can do both, and he just gives honor to God. He says, even in the darkness, there's no darkness for him. He just declares the greatness of God.
And that he's made known the king's demand.
What's that?
He's made known the king's demand.
Yes. So we're in chapter, verse 20.
Verse 24?
Yeah.
Okay.
"Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, 'Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation.'" And then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king.
By the way, I think he was afraid for his head too. Mm-hmm. Because remember, he was tied into them because he was the one that did the training of all those magicians, mm-hmm, and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so for Daniel to come to him and say, "Hey, I know the dream and the answer," he was glad for his sake.
You notice he said quickly.
Yes. Yes.
"I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar.
Belteshazzar.
Why don't you start?
Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said,
I love what he says. Mm-hmm. This is, go ahead.
"The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God." Sorry.
I love
there you go. Mm-hmm. But.
"But there is a God in heaven who, woo-hoo, reveals secrets. And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days.
Mm-hmm.
Your dream and divisions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass about after this.
Mm-hmm.
And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, the secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living."
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
His introduction is, understand, this has nothing to do with my education.
Right.
Has nothing to do with me being better than anybody,
exactly,
else. And he makes it really clean, mm-hmm, where it comes from.
Yep.
"But for our sakes, who makes known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart.
Mm.
You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces."
Okay, let's stop there just for a moment. So in other words, you made known to the king, you saw this great image It looked like, I mean, and it was of made of different metals. And he said, you were amazed by it. And then he starts describing to him. Now that's the good, it's one thing just to say that you saw the image, but he starts describing to him exactly what the image was like, the appearance of the image, okay?
And that its weakness was at its feet because it was the weaker material, it was clay, and it broke.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, it's interesting that the hand began to cut out, okay? And you saw a stone that was cut without hands.
Mm-hmm.
So here he is showing him what happened in his dream. Such a weird dream because it has all the different metals and all this. Now you see no hands, but this image being cut with how, who knows? Go ahead.
And then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together. It became like chaff from the summer threshing floors.
Mm.
The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found.
No trace. Mm-hmm.
And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth.
Mm.
That's a crazy dream.
Yes.
Yep.
Isn't it crazy? Well, and by the way, that's why it would be in, nobody could make it up.
Right.
Because it's such a crazy, impossible thing.
Yep.
Now watch how quickly and simply he sums up what God showed him.
This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, has given them into your hand, and he has made you ruler over them all.
Mm-hmm.
But you are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, and then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't make a dream like that up.
No.
So if it wasn't God and God didn't show it, the guy came to look at him and say, you're nuts.
Take him out.
Go cut him to pieces.
Exactly.
So he had to have faith.
Yes.
That God knew him and he knew God and that God was faithful.
Yes.
And so I think in our life, sometimes we need to realize God, what God does doesn't make sense to us.
Right.
Yet we can trust him.
Amen.
Because we don't understand what he's doing and what he's, he knows what he intends to do.
Amen.
Okay? And so it's really interesting. He sees this wild dream. And to be wrong in one area would cause him to lose his legitimacy.
Mm-hmm.
So now he changes gears. Let's go ahead.
Whereas you saw the feet and toes partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided.
Mm.
And yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall partly be strong and partly fragile. And as you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay.
So you're having kingdoms that are going to be coming through different generations, through different centuries, and some of them are going to be mingled with others. With this last one, it's going to be different kingdoms mixed together. It's not going to be just one.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be different kingdoms mixed together. And not totally together, but yes, I mean, kind of like
a foot with toes work.
Yes.
10 toes work together with the one foot, but the
right.
10 toes.
Right. Amen.
And so that's basically what he's describing is what's going to happen. Okay, buddy. Hey, buddy.
Okay.
No. No? Okay. That means he's ready for bed.
And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed.
Hallelujah.
Yes, amen. And that's the end of
it.
Who do you think that is?
It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, mm-hmm. and it shall stand forever.
Yes,
praise God.
Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this.
Mm-hmm.
The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure.
So, by the way, I love the way he finishes up. He finishes up giving this crazy, wild dream that doesn't make sense until you realize what it's really talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the king knew what he had seen. So he closed it with certainty and assurance, that the boldness in God that he had of saying, this is what you've seen and what you've heard.
And he said, in spite of all the gods that they serve, he said, no, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this, what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
God is letting you know for certain what's going to happen. The dream is certain, and the interpretation of the dream is for sure.
Mm.
So now that's kind of a bold statement.
Yes, I mean, he gets bold at the end. I mean, yes. Like, of course, he ain't got a lot to use, because if he missed it, he missed it.
Yeah,
well, you know, you're getting through the middle and the hard part and talking.
That's it.
And that's it.
He stood his ground because he knew.
Yep. Okay.
Listen, I believe God can speak to us just as surely he spoke to Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And there's times he will do that for his glory.
But what? How can he do it? How does he do that?
Mm-hmm.
We gotta be willing to sit still and listen. That's why many times we don't hear him, because we don't stop and listen. We try to figure everything out ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If I was sitting there hearing this dream,
our own.
And that's it. I mean, the dream itself, and then the interpretation, you're like.
But you get, it's such a strange dream. Nebuchadnezzar has to realize, oh my goodness, that's
right
there.
Yes.
He actually, there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Of course, he'll add Jehovah to one more of his gods.
Mm-hmm.
Because understand, to them,
you may
need 12 gods or 50 gods for each God for each thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, I'll just add this Jehovah God to my list. However, it's either or, it's not both.
Right,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And for us, it's either or, not both.
That's a fact.
Look at what happened after that.
And then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel.
Wow.
Ooh, hey, just a minute. Do you know who Nebuchadnezzar was? The man that ruled virtually the then known world.
Yes.
Didn't give anybody any respect. Nope. And didn't have respect for life or anything. And what happens to him?
He falls on
my goodness.
And no prostate. Before Daniel. Wow.
Yeah, he realized, ain't no way this guy could have known this unless the real.
There's no bluffing, baby.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's no bluffing here.
Yeah. Okay.
And commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him.
Incense means almost like you're worshiping.
Well, it is.
That's it.
That is their worship.
You have the Spirit of God talking straight to you and delivering this dream interpretation and all that stuff. It's just like, this man's touched
yes.
by God.
Mm-hmm.
However, Daniel says,
the king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods,
mm-hmm.
the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you can reveal this secret.
Mm-hmm.
And then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Also Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king.
Okay.
Amen.
Woo!
All right.
I was thinking Daniel is a lion's den. Is that a different Daniel?
No, it's the same.
And the rest of the story, I did not read the
Daniel. It's coming.
Yeah, well, that's why. That's why. That's why it's nice to take and go chapter by chapter.
Yes.
And you get a lot of stuff. And if you have more people there, the more you have, the more that you get little insights from each one.
Yep.
That they understand because God has made them aware of it.
Amen.
He's feeding the crows.
So.
And the muscles.
By the way, that is the same God that we serve.
Yes. Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
He. When the time is needful, he can do as great a thing as he did for Daniel.
Amen.
He's
Amen.
No respecter of persons.
That's right.
So, but you have to have a relationship with God.
And you have so many as you go into the New Testament. You got so many references back to things that the prophets did and said in the Old Testament because it was the same God.
Yes.
It's not like we're serving a different God than the one that we have in the Old Testament. And especially Daniel knew him well. So, all right, any questions or comments?
Not interesting.
Okay, well, we look forward to learning a bit more about Daniel serving God next week then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Someone want to give us a closing prayer?
God, we stand in awe of you.
Yes.
As we studied how you worked with Daniel and the three Hebrew children, God, we just give you honor.
Yes.
We give you glory. We give you praise. Yes. Oh God, let your name be magnified and
yes,
exalted in and through
yes,
our lives.
Lord.
That men might know that there is a God
yes.
that rules and reigns.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.